Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Those two moments that we talk about, though, the Luka trade, the decision, were off-court moments.
Mm-hmm.
This one, like, I wonder what the second highest regular season game is.
I just had this. I think it was a Laker game. I mean, Lakers, this was Heat, this is back then.
Christmas Day?
No. This shoot.
I'm sure that was a pretty bad. I wonder how many.
I would be willing to bet there is no regular season game that touches those numbers. I think the highest rated games ever are like all finals games between the Cavs and the Warriors,
mm-hmm.
or you know LeBron and Steph in some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
I just closed the article. I'm learning something right now. I had no idea 35 million people watched that game.
35, but it makes sense because
no idea
you didn't realize it was an NBC game.
I didn't. I swear to God, I watched it on WGN. Like
he was the only one giving WGN
man,
the rating.
But maybe I mean obviously I didn't. It was on NBC. But I think I even recorded it. In 2005 I threw all those videos away. I probably had that game on a VHS somewhere.
Mm. Yeah, that was. Yeah, I remember that.
I'm trying to look for regular season, but Mike has four of the five highest rated playoff games of all time.
The Jazz, the shot is one of them, right?
Yeah.
Because it was his last shot ever, right, guys?
Yeah. Until he blocked Ron Mercer's shot.
Yeah, game
with
six
two
of
hands.
98 is number one. Game six of 93 is number two. Game seven of 2016, Cavs Warriors is number three.
Mm.
That was
a, and then there's game
that's
five.
Number three. That's
game
that's
five of 97 is number four, and then game five of 98 is number.
What
five.
Are those numbers? Does
they're
it 90, have the
they're
numbers?
All, they're all 30 plus.
30 plus.
They
are any of them over 35?
I think just the first finals one. Let me scroll it back up.
Hmm.
Sorry. Let's see. 35.9 is game six. The number one on there.
Wow. 35.9. Wow.
Yeah. I think we're looking at the. Same article.
Mike was definitely the biggest draw of all time.
Yeah.
Mike. It's funny. It's Mike and LeBron, right?
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's
Mike,
LeBron,
and
Steph.
LeBron
yeah.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Steph gets is in that. It's Mike and then it's LeBron and Steph.
Yeah. And they only got one. Like
oh, they have other. Don't they have other
the
ones up
one,
there?
Is that the same one we're looking at, Jesse, with the black background?
I need to look back.
It's all Mike. And they got that one game.
Mm.
This article is just top five right here.
Mm. All right. Well, the more you know.
What
I saw that in the notes, moment. I was like, "Yeah, I don't think that's right. That can't be right."
What a moment that was! I'll never forget that. And like you said, I don't think there's been anything. I like that.
Certainly
sense.
Not a regular. I mean, regular season game. I do think LeBron debuting in Sacramento belongs
that was,
in
that
conversation.
Was major. Yeah, that was major.
But I can't think of another one.
Mm.
I mean, the other NBA where you were moments were COVID.
Yeah.
And then I think the biggest moment ever will be the other unfortunate Kobe moment that's basketball related.
Mm.
that'll always be the
I'd really like to see, and I can't find it. I'm bad with this search right here. I really want to see what the numbers are. Kobe, Shaq, first game on Christmas Day. I feel like that.
I literally was just looking at that. I think that might be 13 million.
I don't think it's 20.
So I'm guessing that there isn't a regular season game that approaches 20 million in since the 80s or 90s.
I believe that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I was looking at something right now that said Kobe Shaq. That first game was like 13 million or something.
That's a crazy number, though.
13.1 million.
That's a crazy number. For the NBA, like obviously the NFL does their 20s and stuff, but the NBA don't never do like over 5 million.
Does the NBA even have anything capable of doing something like that now? Like, could we even drop a storyline where it's like, yeah, 35 million people tuned in for that?
35? No.
I don't think, do you guys think Luka gets 13?
Luka in Dallas?
Yeah, that's in April.
So 13 million? Fresh. No.
You think it gets 10?
That won't even do more than 10.
I don't think it does 10. I think it, what's a regular NBA number? 3-4?
A regular, maybe it really does, good. I think.
Maybe 5-6. Maybe 5-6.
A really good NBA does like 5-6, I think.
That's what I think it'll do then.
I think this is more than that. I think
you might need Anthony Davis playing in that game too.
The 2010 Heatles versus the Lakers. That was the Heatles versus Kobe. 13 million. Cavs, Warriors.
What do you think Kobe versus LeBron in the finals would have did?
That would have done monster numbers. Nike built a whole campaign out of it.
Somebody was talking about, and they're right. You see what the standings are right now. If that first round holds, that's going to be a massive rating series. It's Lakers-Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to be... We saw them before, though, and they did some pretty good numbers. In that second round after the Kings series.
Man, you look at Christmas Day games. It is Heat Lakers, Shaq and Kobe. Heat Lakers, Kobe and LeBron. Cavs Warriors, Bulls Lakers in 2011. That's 11 million. Heat Bulls in 97, that's 10 million. Lakers, Warriors, 10 million. Warriors, Cavs, 10 million. Celtics, Lakers. I mean, the dominant draws are Steph, Bron, Kobe, and Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike's not in these. These are Christmas Day games, but
they.
Mike's kind of in a different category.
And those are the guys. Those are the guys that have carried.
Man, that's crazy.
The league for the better part of 30 years.
Yeah. Yeah. But now it's up to Keon Ellis to carry the league. Keon Ellis and Keegan Murray and Devin Carter. They are the new standard bearers for the league. They are the new standard bearers for the NBA. They all had terrific games last night. Namely, I don't think we've talked about Keegan very much today. I thought Keegan was really good. Evan Mobley hit some tough shots yesterday. Evan Mobley hit some infuriating shots in the fourth quarter. But overall, I thought Keegan did really good on the defensive end going up against that difficult lineup, what I think is a difficult lineup.
I thought he did too. I thought that's when things kind of changed a little bit too with Evan Mobley, is when they made the move to put Keegan on him, because he was having his way late in the third quarter, just in transition, like he was getting steals and taking it coast to coast, things like that. Then in the start of the fourth, Valanciunas came in and they just ran that pick and pop to death and put Valanciunas in a torture chamber, had to get him out of the game. And then you moved Keegan onto him. And that's when he kind of slowed down just a little bit. And
to be clear, he did not slow down very much. Mm-hmm. He missed like five shots all game. Like, Evan Mobley was terrific last night.
What did he do in the fourth quarter?
I think he was 4 of 6. Give me a second.
And he hit the first like 3 or 4 shots.
Well, no, I don't think that's true, because he hit shots at the end.
Like,
it wasn't just Donovan. No, the end of the fourth.
The end of the fourth, Evan did?
Well, he hit one of the shots. He hit the shot either before or after Donovan's three.
That might have been the only one, because Donovan was going crazy towards the end of that game.
Donovan in the fourth quarter is a psychopath.
Evan in the fourth quarter had
a pick and pop
on Valanciunas. I think he had two of those. And then he got one where he was coming down the left lane and hit it off the glass, I think. And that was 10 minutes in or 2 minutes in. He kind of quieted down after that. And he had a follow-up, I think. I think he had a tip jam.
I'm too far out. Hold on. I'm trying to find Donovan's three. His infuriating
that
three.
That was crazy. That turnaround was, oh, my gosh. It's not over
Donovan,
yet.
I know. I understand that Donovan Mitchell is not the MVP. I understand that. Donovan Mitchell has had a fantastic season.
Absolutely.
An absolutely fantastic season.
Absolutely. I'm a Will Z, too. That's one of my favorite players.
He had a tip layup. I thought maybe it was Donovan. Driving layup, floating seven-footer, that's Donovan. 26-foot fadeaway.
He got one with 3:52 remaining. That was his last made field goal. Before that, it was 11:49, 11:12, 10.
Okay, so that was the tip in? That was the layup.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. So Donovan did hit all of those shots. God bless it.
He was going
that
crazy.
That dude's nasty.
He was going
that dude is crazy. Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. But to your original point, you're Keegan Murray.
Yeah, this was supposed to be about Keegan.
Keegan Murray came in and, you know, they made that switch. And I'm not going to say he stopped Evan because it was Donovan time, but it was a better matchup, and he gave the Kings a better.
Well, they wouldn't have been shy about going to Evan Mobley the way he was shooting. He was 13-18 in that game when that tip and layup went in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
13-18.
What did he do?
They kept the ball out of his hands.
In the third quarter, he was 5 of 6. I promise you, I'm about to look right now. I promise you, he hit his first shot in the third quarter, probably with. I'm going to say 3:20 left. Let's see. It was with 2:41. And he went 5 of 6 in the last 2:41 in the third quarter. A two-pointer, a two-pointer, a three-pointer, a two-pointer, a two-pointer. And then he starts the fourth quarter with 3 made buckets.
And the crazy part about that is that was the quarter the Kings cooked in.
Yeah.
That was the quarter that even made them winning the game possible. They scored 40. They scored 15 points in the first quarter and 43 in the third.
That's crazy. That is crazy. So let's do a quick little math. Between 2:41 to go in the third quarter to, let's say, 9:42 to go in the fourth quarter, Evan Mobley went 8 of 9.
Jesus.
With 3 3-pointers.
You still hate Evan Mobley?
Definitely don't hate Evan Mobley.
I hated him last night.
In about a 5 minute span, he goes 8 of 9.
You know what else Donovan did last night? And man, he is just cool as cool can be. He was 9 of 9 at the free throw line.
That's when I started thinking.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So, download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
Hmm, I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, BSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
But I was like, he ain't missing no
when he shot those free throws late, it was just like, look at this.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I was sitting there, he ain't missing no free throws.
But you know who else hit free throws yesterday? Devin Carter. Devin Carter was two for two.
He said he was getting in that lab. He said he was getting in that lab to work on his free throws.
Hey, those mattered last night. King shot, I don't even think I realized this. King shot 93%. Who missed the one? Oh, it was DeMar. DeMar was 5 of 6. They were 15-16.
They went 50-40-90 last night as a team.
They did, yeah. Yep.
And then Malik talking about cooler than the other side of the pillow. When you had to, come on, man. Didn't even touch nothing.
Yeah.
Didn't even. That's what he does, though. He always, he's been to the line a lot of the times in those clutch moments, and he knocks them down. He knocks them down. Big ups, man.
We'll come back. We'll talk to Matt George about all of this going on with the Sacramento Kings when dealing with Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader. By the way, Kings play again tonight at home against Chicago. We'll talk about it here on ESPN 1320.
Check it out, though. Kings play tonight. That means Beam Money is back. Yes, indeed. I got the lineup ready to go. I'm going to just tell you real quick. My boy, the nasty boy. JV.
You're having a bad day, so I'd be careful with your language.
He's going to get more than 13.5 points tonight. They got my man, I always forget how to say his name, Bouzelis?
We did this earlier. He scored 5 Bouzelis. Points last night.
I got him at more than 9.5 points tonight. I got him at more. Malik Monk, more than 2.5 three-pointers made. He's got the three-point game going again. Kobe White, 31.5 points, rebounds, and assists. You already know I went more with Kobe White. You know that. And then DeMar DeRozan, more than 23.5.
No Kevin Huerter lines, huh?
No Kevin Huerter lines because it was going to be less, and I didn't want to do that. Wow. I didn't want to do that. I don't want to do that to Kevin Huerter. So, you know, I'm going to just keep it. I'm going to just play it across the board, man. But go to Prize Picks right now. Put the promo code KIFM in. You get $50 instantly with your first $5 lineup. It's promo code KIFM. Must be present in certain states. Go to prizepicks.com for more details. Prize Picks, run your game.
You welcome in Matt George of ABC 10 and the Locked On Kings podcast. Matt, most impressive player from last night's game to you was who?
I mean, it's Devin Carter, without a doubt. I mean, just the back-to-back games where he's been tremendous. Mm-hmm. Like breakout games, 7 steals in the last 2 games. Went for that jam against Memphis, didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Took his opportunity this time, threw it down, and I asked him about it after the game, and he was like, man, shout out Malik Monk. Thanks to Malik Monk for passing to me, and I just jumped. That was it. That was his answer. That was his breakdown. But he was tremendous. He's a nuisance, man. When he wants to be with the wingspan that he has, he can be just exhausting for ball handlers and teams to deal with. Not just that, but if you're playing off the ball, a lot of the steals that he got was off the ball. Man, you just have to be constantly aware of any passing lane in his vicinity, in his airspace, because he can reach out and at the very least deflect the ball and create opportunities. So I thought Devin Carter was fantastic. The fact that Doug Christie quite literally couldn't find a way to take him off the floor. He played 31 minutes or rounded up 31 minutes last night. Like he played so well that Doug had no choice. It's like, sorry, Keon, like I gotta close with this guy. He's earned it. And I promise you, Keon Ellis and nobody else had a problem with that, the way Devin was playing.
Yeah, man, it was good to see for Devin Carter. I know we've been a little rough on him, but like I said earlier, we've been quick to also say he was put in a very, very tough position. Being drafted to this team that had an immediate need, he had to deal with a shoulder surgery, doesn't get a training camp, doesn't get summer league. gets two games in the G League, and they're like, hey, get in here and, you know, and be effective. And it was just a lot. It was a lot for any rookie if they were always 100% healthy, let alone somebody who's coming, you know, off an injury like that. And he struggled that first time around, but stayed with it, got back in Stockton, worked on some things, and he got the second opportunity. And he's played well. I would say the first time it really stood out to me was the Clippers game, you know, and he's shown that he's a major league, or excuse me, an NBA guy since that moment, like right now. So I was happy to see that from him last night, with it culminating in, you know, his highest point total and doing that in front of the home crowd like that.
Yeah, my issue was never with him, right? It's not his fault that he had to have surgery. It's not his fault that he started behind the eight ball. It was the choice of the front office to select him given the circumstances of what they were going for. Now, two games in a row probably has Monty McNair with a big smile on his face watching this kid play, and rightfully so. But two games doesn't make a good decision. Two games also doesn't make a bad decision, right? I mean, Devin Carter, the player, is going to need years to be judged. And certainly any idea or comprehension or like this any idea of Devin Carter being labeled a bust in any kind of way is ridiculous. He's this is a game like 25 or something in his career. The circumstances
didn't feel ridiculous a month ago.
No, well,
that man looked lost on the basketball floor,
right? Because he was barely starting in the league and coming off of surgery and no training camp, and asked to play for a team that has playoff expectations, yeah. Which is not on him. It's never been on him. And I think this speaks to my broader issue with this team the entire season, in addition to the front office, has been just the construction of this roster for what this team needs. And I think to segue kind of into a probably the greater part of the conversation that we're going to have, what we saw from the Sacramento Kings last night is the willingness to give their all. That's it. That is the secret to success for this Kings team. Are they going to give their all, or are they not? Because they didn't give anything against the Warriors. They didn't give anything against Phoenix. They didn't make even close to a second or third effort. They didn't even bother closing out on corner threes on back-to-back nights. But Monday night and last night, they're fighting. They're battling. They're scratching and clawing. Doug Christie talks a lot about Sacramento Kings basketball. Talks about the name on the front, not the name on the back. And Sacramento Kings basketball is giving your all and giving 110%. That is what he demands. That's a lot to ask of any team, regardless of if you're a loved head coach or you're a hated head coach or whatever. That's a lot to ask of your team to give their all. When the Kings choose to give their all, and when they play players that are willing to give their all, like Keon, like DC, like Jake LaRavia, even though he didn't play last night, they're a different version. They're a different team. But it is fair to question game in and game out. KC, I was listening to the show earlier. I know you're talking about more often than not under Doug Christie, we've seen them play better. That's true, especially at home. Like, Doug Christie has figured out how to get this team to play hard for home the home crowd, and that doesn't surprise me. Shouldn't surprise anybody based on how well he knows this crowd. They're 12-3 at home under Doug Christie. So they've figured that out, which is fantastic. However, I'm not saying this to take anything away from Doug, because he deserves a tremendous amount of credit. But the bottom line for this team has nothing to do with coaching. Do they want to fight, and do they want to play hard, or do they not? That's it. Because when they fight, when they play hard, they can beat anybody. They can hang with anybody, and they can get a crowd behind them like we saw last night. That was the loudest I've heard the Golden One Center since the 2023 playoffs. Like, when they fight, the crowd responds, and they all feed off of that, and the offense gets going as well as the defense gets established. But if they're not going to fight, if they're not going to give their effort, they're going to get their ass kicked in Phoenix. They're going to get embarrassed by the Warriors. So what version of this team are you going to be? That is the question on a nightly basis. What question, or what version of the Sacramento Kings are we going to get tonight against the Bulls? Because even though it's the second night of a back-to-back, don't matter to Doug, doesn't matter who the opponent is, doesn't matter who's playing. Are they going to play hard, or are they not going to? And we'll see come tip-off. That's the state of this team right now.
The question I would ask Matt, and Matt's not alone in feeling how he feels, but why I said this earlier, why don't they get, when you talk about their effort and how they approach the game, why don't they get the benefit of the doubt? Because I'll challenge anybody to give me 10 games where they didn't show up that way. They're being held to – what we saw a week ago as if that's who they are, when I think they've shown the exact opposite. They had a bad week, and that's not who they are.
You also can't say that beating the Cavaliers last night is who this team is. They haven't proven that. They haven't shown that nearly enough.
And that's where people don't, I don't think they hear what I'm saying. They don't have to win to play a certain way. They
have to win right now. No, but winning is all that matters.
You're not hearing me, Matt. I'm talking about their approach to the game and how they compete. And I think that's what Doug is talking about. Doug isn't necessarily talking about wins or losses.
Doug has said that. I'm talking process over results.
How we approach the game, how we compete. They've shown way more times than those past three games that they approach the game and play a certain way under Doug Christie.
This is a nice sermon on Sunday. Doug Christie needs results to keep his job. The front office needs results to keep their job. Vivek Ranadive has established an expectation of playoff results this season after last season missing out on the playoffs. This is a results-driven league. I understand completely what Doug Christie's saying. He's trying to build something, and damn it, he deserves to build it. Doug Christie deserves to be here for years. He deserves to have this job. I think he's won me over with that. Mm-hmm. But this is a results-based league, and you are in a playoff race right now. I don't want to hear about process. It's not freaking November. You need to win basketball games right now. And the bottom line is, when this team plays hard enough, they can win any game. And we've seen that. But we've also seen games going back to two extremely important games with massive playoff implications that they did not show up and did not play hard. So I'm not trying to be negative after a big win, because last night was phenomenal. But KC, it don't matter. What version of the team are you going to get? You need consistency, and you need to win. And this Kings team doesn't always give you what they need to play consistently.
To me, you're saying two different things. Don't talk about playing hard and what they say. They didn't win those games. Because
they didn't play hard against Phoenix or Golden State at all.
But they played hard. But they played hard against Denver. They played hard against.
Correct. They did.
But it don't matter. Right?
No, because that's
what I'm saying. You're saying two different things. Because it doesn't matter if they play hard or not. It matters if they win or lose. And that's cool if that's the barometer. I'm not even saying that's a bad thing. But don't harp on the fact that they didn't play hard against Golden State and Phoenix. Just harp on the fact that they didn't win. Because that's all that matters.
I'm going to harp on them not playing hard against Phoenix. It doesn't matter. Yes, it does matter.
No, because
how does it not matter? They didn't show up in massive games with playoff implications. How does that not matter?
Because they played hard and they played a tight game against Denver.
What do you want, a moral victory?
I don't want a moral victory.
Losses.
You're talking about what you can expect from this team, and I'm telling you more times than not, the whole notion of if they're going to come, they almost always play a competitive game. You got two games, three games max that you could say these guys didn't show up. Other than that, in the 17 games that Doug has had since the trade deadline, in the 37 games they've had since he's been the head coach, they almost always show up. So that, to me, that shouldn't even be a question of whether or not they're going to show up. It should just be, are they going to win or not? And that's why I say they don't get the benefit of the doubt. Like, now we question if these guys are committed and all that. What are you talking about? They've shown for 34 to 37 games that they're committed. Why are we even questioning that? It's can they execute?
We're arguing semantics at this point, because whether they're committed or not, okay, fine. I mean, they're NBA players. I do believe they want to win. But are they going to do what Doug Christie asks of them? That's the question. That is fair to question on a night in, night out basis. Even if we want to say they're 100% committed, sometimes their actions don't support that. They've beaten up on bad teams. That's fantastic. I don't take that away from them at all, considering that is something they struggled to do with Mike Brown. They didn't win at home. They're figuring that out. So I give them a tremendous amount of credit for that. But one win against the Cleveland Cavaliers, and I'll even add the Houston win. Like, those two wins are the best wins that they've had over the last handful of weeks, but also in some significant games. So there's two wins right now that I can point to and go, those are fantastic. Let's add in the Memphis one too. There's three. But I go back to, you weren't here, KC. I was talking with D'Lo from the Chase Center. I was giving him another tour of the Chase Center last week, this time last week. And we were talking about that Knicks game. And I told D'Lo, I was like, I think this game's the outlier. The way they played against the Knicks, I think, is the outlier. I was in the same boat as you. I don't think they're going to play like this. I think they're going to rise to the moment. They recognize the tiebreaker implications against the Golden State Warriors tonight. They came out and didn't give a damn. They left the. And I understand part of the game plan part of the game plan was let Draymond Green shoot open threes. He was hitting them. You tip your cap, right? It was kind of the same thing with Russell Westbrook hitting open threes in Denver, right? That's part of the game plan. But at some point, Doug Christie also calls for making a second or third effort on closeouts. The Kings were not willing to make second or third efforts on closeouts. Then they follow it up with a game that even you tweeted out the season was on life support after that pitiful performance that they had in Phoenix. I don't care if that's not who this team is. That's who they were in the moment in important games. And they have to win games like last night in order to make up for that. Thank God they did. And I love that they're getting these efforts out of Devin Carter, Jake LaRavia, Keon Ellis starting. I don't think it's a coincidence that the Sacramento Kings found success. I know that was the worst offensive first quarter we've ever seen in our freaking lives, but the Kings defensively fought so hard that they could keep this game within single digits after scoring just 15 points in a quarter, bought themselves time to get that offense going, and they ultimately won that game. Keon Ellis being a part of that starting unit is not a coincidence with that. We know what Keegan Murray does on the defensive end. I think Doug Christie has discovered something. He's figured something out. And in my opinion, you got four guys right there that play defense and play hard on defense. Two of those guys need to be on the floor at all times, in my opinion. You can have any combination of DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, DeMontis Sabonis when he comes back, Malik Monk, anybody out there to score the basketball, and that's important. And I love how DeMar and Malik closed that game out last night. But those guys, the ones that have been willing to dive for loose balls and fight like hell and play hard, that's the reason why the Sacramento Kings are 2-0 during this homestand, because they got the offense going. They got out in transition. They got the crowd involved. And then DeMar was able to do his thing and close it down. Not taking anything away from DeMar, though. That is the perfect spot for him. That was vintage. This is what you bring DeMar DeRozan for. You talk about DeMar doesn't get the credit when he does it. I'm giving him the credit when he does it. You don't win that game without DeMar DeRozan last night. You needed a closer to help close that thing down. But the three quarters to get you to that point, that was all the hustle and energy that this Kings team, are they going to bring it every night? We don't know. Hopefully they will. They need to if they're going to have any shot.
Somebody say you're getting a cappuccino.
I just don't want to step on anyone's counterpoint. So I just let everybody
work. Is this how Jason Ross felt with you and Ken Rudolph?
Probably. There'd be times where I'd look at Jason, will you say something? Okay, one quick question to try to bring the moment down a little bit, and we should all decide on this together. Mm. Are we calling Devin Carter DC?
It's a good call. I haven't.
Okay, I haven't either, I have purposely not done that.
Yeah.
Matt just did it. I've heard other people. Is that a thing that we're doing?
Well, Doug has called him that. I don't like it. I did that because I genuinely could not.
I don't like it, but maybe we don't call him DC. Maybe it's Coach Christie. Maybe it's Doug. Like, I don't know. Maybe DC is too informal for a coach now.
That's tough.
I don't like it.
DC too?
I don't love that. He could be Devin. He's Devin.
He can't get a nickname.
Well, I mean, what's his nickname? Fryer? The Fryer? I don't know. Like, I don't love. I don't like DC, and I don't like DC calling him DC.
I didn't even think about that.
All right. Okay. We don't have to decide on it now, but it just caught my attention. Here's something that we haven't asked all day. It appears, Matt, that Zach LaVine is back tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe we know the status of Jake LaRavia yet, but I do believe the absence of those two influenced the minutes that we saw for both Devin Carter and Trey Lyles. I still think we'll see a lot of Trey Lyles minutes, especially with the absence of DeMontis Sabonis. But what now for Devin Carter? Like, if you're Doug, you know, hey, we got something here. He even said last night, yo, Devin had his welcome to the NBA moment. And he almost sounded like relieved when he said it. He said he had his welcome to the damn NBA moment or something like that. What do you do now, though, if you're Doug, where you have, you know, you've got Zach LaVine back and you have something a little bit closer to your normal rotation?
It's an oversimplification, but almost the same thing in terms of put him out there, and if he's making an impact, keep him out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's it. It's the same thing with Jake LaRavia. It's the same thing with Keon Ellis.
No problem doing. He's done that since he's been the head coach. Yeah.
Now, if he comes out and he's struggling and he's not making the right plays or whatever, then you kind of pull it back a little bit. But one of the things I just said there when I was yelling at poor Kenny was that like, again, you got four like scrappy defenders on this team. Two of them should be on the floor at all times, in my opinion. Now, that's not going to be the case with the starting lineup with LaVine back.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. We've argued enough about the starting lineup. It is what it is. But to me, you should always try to have one or two of those four guys on the floor, and sometimes three of those four guys on the floor, because we can clearly see the influence that they have on a game and defensively the impact that they can make and how they can get everybody going. So, and everybody feeds off that energy when those guys are hustling. So, and whether Jake LaRavia is back or not, I guess we'll find out. But I, again, oversimplification answer to your question. I think you put him out there in the first quarter or whatever part of the rotation you want to put him out there when you bring Malik out or whatever, and see if he can continue to be a high impact player. Give him a couple opportunities in the first half and in the second half, and if he earns more, then he earns more. I think that's, you can kind of be on a game by game basis, and I know that's difficult at times for players to deal with, but when you're a player like Devin Carter that you can just kind of unleash, it's like, go out there and hustle and make an impact, bother somebody, get some deflections, piss somebody off, maybe dunk a basketball, maybe hit a three if it's open. Like, doesn't matter what your rotation minutes look like, just go out there and be impactful. That's how I see Doug Christie handling Devin Carter for the rest of this season.
You know, one of the things that's been mentioned a lot with the starting lineup and yesterday, and it's something that I took note of the other day. Doesn't mean it's right or wrong or anything like that, but I like, you talked about energy. I think the shift in energy, the change in energy coming off the bench is vital. I think the last two games, the shift in energy is what helped them win the game. I say that to say that doesn't mean you have to start with that energy. Sometimes having the shift of energy is what propels you. So when people say this should be the starter, this should be the starter, maybe the perfect role is coming off the bench. You used Bobby Jackson as an example. He was a starting caliber player, but his shift in energy and his change of pace with Mike Bibby was essential to what the Kings did. The Kings didn't have, outside of Doug Christie, they didn't have any real defenders in that starting lineup, but they had that shift of energy. You go back to even further with the bench mob, with Vernon Maxwell and John Berry. They were, quote-unquote, better than Tariq Abdul-Wahad, but their shift of energy is what helped propel those teams some nights. So, I mean, whoever starts, it's whatever. It doesn't matter to me. But I think what we saw the last two nights is just as vital as a starting lineup, being able to come in with guys that can just bring a different level of intensity to the game on the defensive end or both sides of the floor.
I completely understand what you're saying. And I think that was, for a long time, like Mike Brown's argument with bringing Malik off the bench, right? Mm-hmm. With that shift of energy and what Malik brings. And for sure, like we saw in Memphis or in the Memphis game, LaRavia and Devin Carter coming in and shifting that energy defensively is what woke that game up. This is a impossible argument to make because Zach LaVine didn't play. But I'm very curious if we could go back in time and say Zach LaVine did play and started in last night's game. How much better is the offense in that first quarter? I'd expect it to be a little bit better at the very least having Zach LaVine out there. But if you were to tell me that the Kings were scoring in the teens in the first quarter against the Cleveland Cavaliers, I would have told you they were down by 15, 20 points at the end of the quarter. Why? Because we saw that three first quarters in a row, against New York, against Golden State, and against Phoenix. Three straight games where the Sacramento Kings were obliterated in the fourth quarter, down by 15 plus points at the end of all three of those games, ended up falling behind by over 20 points in all three of those games. So, where I think about it from this perspective, the change of energy, you're 100% right, but is Keon Ellis in that starting lineup alongside Keegan Murray, does that give you enough of a defensive push to where if you get off to a slow start offensively, you're not falling behind in such a big hole where your bench has to give you something or you're in big trouble? That's where when I see Keon Ellis start, I see, okay, the Kings are making a significant enough effort or playing well enough defensively to where even if the offense is slowly warming up, DeMar's getting going, LaVine's getting going, Monk is not hitting shots, they're still in the game. Like that, I think how the first quarter went last night, I think is a fantastic aspect of the story of that game. They scored 15 points, still ended with 122,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And people want to dismiss that quarter as that was a bad quarter. To me, that quarter set the tone because defensively, they played the same way all four quarters. And it was that defensive first quarter that allowed, that bought them the time to figure themselves out offensively and really establish that they weren't going to get pushed around by Cleveland. And there were a couple times where I was following Cleveland players to the bench with my camera, and I kept catching Tristan Thompson walking up to his guys going,
"TT,
like, calm down, calm down, calm down." Like, the Kings and their physicality flustered Cleveland last night. And I think Keon being as part of the starting lineup, having two of those four guys on the floor to start the game, helps establish that defensive intensity.
And that's what I think the story, again, maybe it's a glass half empty, half full thing that we talked about earlier, is the story of the first quarter doesn't have to be the 15. Mm-hmm. It's the 22. You scored 15 points in that game. You were down 7. You only gave up 22 points.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To a team with Donovan Mitchell and Evan Mobley, who, like, Evan Mobley missed 5 shots the whole game, hit 8 of 9 in like 10 seconds or whatever Kenny found out earlier. Like, he was out of this world yesterday, and like, we could be frustrated, or you could, wow, look at the turnaround. But you look at that 22, and like, I didn't know how to feel at halftime, thinking, I think it was a 9-point deficit. I was like, well, I just remember thinking, it's not so bad. Because I did not expect the Kings to win last night. I did not expect the Kings to be competitive last night. And not like quit competitive. Like, the circumstances were tough. Like, that's a tall ask, right, against a team that's probably, I don't want to say desperate for a win, but is looking around like, hey, we got to settle this thing down here. We don't want to, you know, start losing games here at the end of the season. But to hold them, you know, to be within striking distance in the at halftime, and to have that, you know, amazing third quarter that they had, I think that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of positives to look out from last night.
For sure. Another one is, like, call me scarred or emotionally damaged or pessimistic.
You're all of those things.
Yes. I was waiting for, I was sitting there during the third quarter and saying, okay, but when, this is fun, but when's it coming? Right. When is Cleveland going to stop playing with their food? Right. And then Evan Mobley erased that run by himself. I'm like, ah, man, here it is. Okay. Here it is. And I was not going to be, I was thrilled with how the Sacramento Kings were playing. And to be clear, even though I was expecting Cavaliers to win that game and flip that proverbial switch, I didn't think, oh, all of a sudden they're going to run the Kings out of the building in the fourth quarter. No, I thought it was going to be a hard-fought game that the Kings would just lose to a 56-12 team at the time. They got punched back, and then the Kings responded, punched right back. Right? And then we got into a situation where DeMar and Malik were able to close that game down. There were a couple possessions where it was DeMar DeRozan on one end, Donovan Mitchell on the other, and every basketball fan on the planet had a big smile on their face just watching those two go back and forth, right? But for the Kings to truly scratch and claw and fight to get a victory like that, down 3 rotation players, down 2 starters, not just that, down 2 of your 3 stars. I mean, it was a tremendous effort for the Kings. They talked a lot after the game about executing the game plan. There was an X's and O's game plan that Doug Christie put together. It was fantastic. The Kings absolutely executed it. But part of the freaking game plan, going back to how we started this conversation, is, are you willing to give it all or not? And they were willing last night, and it was enough to beat Cleveland. Even second out of a back-to-back, no Darius Garland, I don't give a damn. Take your excuses and save them in Cleveland. I don't care. You beat a 56-win team last night, down 2 starters, down 2 stars. You fought with them every step of the way. You didn't rely on a 60% 3-point shooting night or some, like, Donovan Mitchell going 2 for 20. You beat them in a straight up hard fought basketball game. And you did it because of your defensive hustle and effort. Like, that is the Doug Christie impact. If you're asking me, what is Doug Christie's legacy on the Sacramento Kings? It's that. That's what he's done in this, well, however many games it's been 37. Since December.
37 games. I think he's 6 games over 500 or something like that.
Impressive.
Tonight against the Bulls, I know this point at this time of year, they're all must wins. But do you, to keep this momentum up, do you feel like there's a little extra added importance on this game? You know, in some respects, you'd be like, oh, you won a Cavs game that you didn't expect to win. And if you lose to the Bulls, it just kind of balances out. Or is it like, hey, man, you were already needing to beat the Bulls. You can put yourself in a really, really good spot if you go out and handle business tonight? Like, how are you approaching the Kings game tonight against the Bulls?
I just don't want to see the Kings limp into their meeting with Milwaukee, then Boston, then OKC, right? Don't kill the momentum that you've built for yourselves over these last two games by dropping the ball against the team that you should beat. Now, again, Doug Christie has done a fantastic job of getting this team not just to beat bad teams. Kings have been destroying bad teams under Doug Christie, and that's what I expect tonight. Now, if they win by 5 instead of 15, I'm not going to be upset. Win the basketball game. Whatever it takes, go out and win, regardless of who's playing, who's not. The only thing that will upset me, in addition to a loss, because this is a results-driven time, a loss would definitely be upsetting. But if the Sacramento Kings don't play as hard as they did last night. Now, if they play hard and run out of gas, tired legs, things of that nature, second night of a back-to-back, it's an excuse I don't want to use, but there's a human element of, okay, I get it, right? As long as they're trying to fight through it. But if we don't see the same amount of effort and hustle and intensity, and it's clear, the eye test shows us, I'm going to be a little disheartened by that, considering how hard that, because if the Kings play the way they played last night tonight, they should win this game easy. If they had played that way against the Phoenix Suns, the Suns would have quit in the second quarter, because that team's been quitting left and right so far this season. So that's the thing. If the Kings play like that, not only will they win basketball games, there'll be a lot of teams that just say, F this. I ain't dealing with Devin Carter. No. So that's what I'm looking for tonight. And the result is it comes from that. You handle things the right way, you 100% should be beating the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, I hate when we do that. You're right. They're better than Chicago, and this is just the corner you've painted yourself into. Mm-hmm. You're playing a team you're favored against. That's not going to happen for another week and some change. You're playing a team who's also on the second night of a back-to-back, so you're at no disadvantage. You're at home. There is a human element to this, though. There is a human element to being a professional athlete that I think we often overlook. Like, they quit, or they looked lackluster, or they didn't have this, or they were terrible against this team or that team. And it's like, yeah, they had a bad day at work. Mm-hmm. And that's ultimately like what it is. It sucks. They had a bad day at work in front of a massive fan base, and in front of, media that has to host a podcast every single night, that has to host a news telecast every night, that has to talk for 4 hours about this team every day. Otherwise, we venture into pyramids and Stonehenge.
And Mandela effects.
and that's just kind of the nature of this. And I think there is something to what Kenny said earlier about, this team's probably has answered the call more time. This version of the team has answered the call more times than it hasn't. But that's the tough thing that they face tonight, is I think a lot of fans were hoping with this back-to-back you'd go 1-1. Mm-hmm. But no one expected that one last night.
Now it's
whether
changed.
Domas was available, or Zach LaVine was available, or Jake LaRavia was available, I don't think anyone expected that one. Now expectations change. Now this game is different. It was like the famous Clippers Kings game was a Friday. Mm-hmm. Everybody was praying for them to win on Sunday just so they could talk more about the game mm-hmm. that happened on Friday. Mm-hmm. And they did. And that's the win against Cleveland carries much more weight. It's kind of the same line I was using after the Clippers game. It's not that bad. I know it hurts, but if you can find a way to get New York, you're fine. Mm-hmm. The Clippers game hurt a lot more when they lost by 40 against the Knicks. The Cavs win will feel much better if you're able to beat Chicago and then head into a weekend where, by the way, you've got your next 4 days consist of Giannis, Dame, Tatum, Brown, and Shea. Mm. Mm. That's what's ahead for you. You've got the guys who the finals MVP, an MVP from a couple years ago who doesn't get referenced anymore, and the guy who's going to win the MVP this year.
You better eat your Wheaties.
That's what's facing you. And you're James Worthy in this situation. That's who you are in this. Your better eat your Wheaties analogy is you're James Worthy, and you've got to find a way to step up tonight, Matt. So I'm with you. You've got to beat Chicago, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the two things that I would say in response to what you said, like the human element, you're absolutely right, but you've spent your bad days.
No, I hear you.
You spent them.
I hear you.
Your get out of jail free cards are gone and done. So you like, and the second part of that is, like, you just pulled off a win that nobody expected. Don't give it back by losing a game you should beat or should win. Like it just doesn't make sense. It's not an efficient way to move forward, right? You got something, you now handle your business and build off of it. Then we'll go into Milwaukee and Boston and OKC, where maybe they go 0-3. Maybe you're hoping to get one out of those games, whatever. But you talk about handling your business ahead of time. Beat Chicago tonight. Bring some momentum and a day off with you into a meeting with the Milwaukee Bucks on Saturday. You fight hard, you lose that game because Giannis Antetokounmpo is unbelievable. Okay. Or Dame Lillard breaks your heart again with a buzzer beater from half court. That. Okay.
Not do that.
But you've put yourself in a position where you can afford that because you beat the Cleveland Cavaliers, you beat the Memphis Grizzlies, and then you followed it up by taking care of business against the Chicago Bulls. That's what I'm looking at tonight.
Matt, real quick, 10 seconds. You got a bracket? You big on the tournament and everything?
I haven't filled out a bracket this year.
Well, it's too late.
Good for you, Matt.
What do you mean,
good.
Hey, Matt. Didn't. It's over,
brother. It's me and you, brother.
I'm enjoying life elsewhere. I do want to make sure I hijack the rest of the time on the show that I have to tell you you're both wrong about John Cena's promo. John Cena's promo was fantastic.
Really?
Abe
just said the same thing to me.
Man, I guess it's just, I guess you, it's just us. It's Jesse.
You. Matt, you didn't think it was a little too cartoonish?
No matter what, like if Cena had come out and all of a sudden been Hollywood Cena, I don't think that's believable because now it's just like, oh, you're just whatever. But Cena coming out and giving us this whole, like, you don't appreciate me, like playing, being what Cody called him, the whiny, you know what, like that is a believable heel turn for a guy that's given you 15, 20 years of being a good guy. And now he's like, I'm tired of the abuse. I'm tired of it. Like, I think that's more believable and more fun than, oh, I'm just evil now because Dwayne The Rock Johnson said so.
They've cheered him for 5 to 7 years.
Right. Yeah. But he still he still has the Cena sucks people. He still I just think it's more believable and more fun to lean into that than to just go, I'm bad now. I'm mean.
I'll give it a second chance. I'll give it a second chance. I'll watch it again. Actually be the third chance. I'll try again and I'll see if my mind changes. We're headed out to college basketball next. We'll see you tomorrow here, beginning at 10 a.m. with the Insiders on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos Kings, light the beam.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple, and I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.